WBAC. Welcome back to another week of the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour. This show, folks, is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. Fox's Beverly Pizza. And Tullamore Dew.
Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
That's correct.
I don't know any other kind. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me to my left always is my twin brother, Billy. Billy, hi.
I'm here.
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hello.
Bring the energy, baby.
Bring the energy. Gotta have it up. Gotta have it up. Gotta have it up. Sounds like a Viagra commercial, isn't it?
Gotta get it up. Gotta get it up.
Could they do that? Could they get away with that these days?
They
get away with everything.
Who's they?
Media.
Pharmaceutical companies?
Pretty much, yeah.
They're getting away with everything these days. Of course they can make a racy commercial.
Gotta get it up. Gotta get it up.
Oh, yeah.
People would be singing it.
Well, there was that one with the guy, there was the guy who always was always smiling
because
he was on the... he was famous.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, in the world of erectile dysfunction commercial personnel. Extends, I believe.
Extends.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hey, we're right into it. Huh?
Yeah!
Bring the energy up. Clay, that's funny that we even go to that way right up off the top of the show. I was watching Family Feud the other day. Bill, you mentioned Family Feud last week.
Yeah, man. Right into the feud.
You saw Mark Paul Gasly.
That's right.
Gasly.
You can check out archived episodes in that episode, folks, if you go to hibernianradio.org.
That's right.
I'm watching Family Feud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hence the term family. Nothing family about Family Feud anymore.
No.
One of the topics, I'm going to pull it up right now.
Okay.
But it was so racy that my 11-year-old daughter was in the room, and I'm like beat red in the face and wanted to turn. I was like, we got to turn this off. Anyway, I'm getting old, I think. Maybe wiser, but like those kind of things used to not bother me. Now that I have children, I'm like, hey, you know what? Not cool.
You gotta let them.
Family feud? Family what? There's nothing family about it. It's just feud, you know?
Listen to Andy Rooney over here.
That's exactly what it's coming to. That's what I mean. I'm getting old.
Yeah. I've noticed the same thing. Just where you're kind of like, come on.
Just stick to Jeopardy. Trebek's not going to have that nonsense.
Just lots of sexual innuendos. Not ready for a 9 or a 10-year-old kid to be knowing that stuff. Maybe they do, the internet, but I don't want to be inundated with it in my household.
Get him a yo-yo. That'll keep him busy.
Yeah, sure. No more Family Feud. Yo-yo
Where's that
time.
Yo-yo I bought you for Easter?
Where's the yo-yo I got you for Easter, you little punk?
Have you mastered that yet?
Here's the subject I came
across.
Okay,
go ahead.
Because we're talking topics in the news here. We like to stay away from politics. We go right into the feud.
Go ahead.
This is supposed to be a family. Folks, I apologize because the Hoolies Hoolie is kind of family. But I don't think children understand most of our jokes at all. Maybe you don't either. Name something a man might ask his wife to do to his bottom. All right?
Oh,
these were the answers. These were the acceptable guesses. Okay. And the families look respectable. You know, like
Are these regular families or celebrity families?
No, these were just regular families. You know, it was like it was the Gossers was the name of one family.
Oh, close to Gossier.
G-O-S-S-E-R?
Yes, it was, Bill.
Ah, Gosser.
Yes. I don't know what kind of name Gosser is. Maybe Dutch. Dutch English.
Dutch English for the Gosser?
Could be. And they were up against an African-American family. And I can't remember their name.
Okay.
They did have one of the members of the family was a little person.
Okay. Right?
And Steve Harvey was, like, hitting on her. You know, he's like, you're gorgeous. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. And I was like, okay, it's getting borderline creepy now. You know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's what the subject was.
Yeah.
Name something a man might ask his wife to do to his bottom.
Okay, right? Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
Number one. Well, this wasn't the number one answer, but the first person down the line. I don't know, Steve, have sex with it? Okay. That's the first one out.
Wow.
Right?
I'm
sitting there with my kids. I'm like, what the? What?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like,
That might be difficult.
That didn't get an answer. Wipe it, right? Logical, okay. Right? Sure. Maybe the person's handicapped. They need some help.
Yes, yeah. No. Sure. Or just lazy.
No, right. Honey, I had a hard day.
Honey, my hand fell asleep again.
Wipe it for me?
Yeah.
You know the drill.
Right. So that got no. That
I mow the lawn on Saturday. You know the drill.
Oh man. Maybe at the Gosser house, but not in mine.
Or the Gosselier. Yeah.
Or right. The Gosseliers.
Yeah. Next answer. Tickle it.
Mm, also,
tickle it.
Also.
No, survey says zero.
Oh, wow. Oh,
okay. Okay. Next answer, rub it. People, you rub it.
Butt rubbing. Yeah. Butt rubbing's big.
Butt rubbing. Butt rubbing.
Yeah. Mm. Danny's butt rubbing.
Spank it.
That's, okay. You know, clever.
Sure.
Smack in the butt.
Okay. That's got to be number one answer.
Wiggle it. Nothing.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
Ooh.
Survey said yes. Don't touch my, don't put my bags on. Sure. Inspect it. Okay.
If there's an issue.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if I ask my wife to inspect my butt if there's an issue.
If I said
I call the doctor.
If I said on attack, I would.
Oh, yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I went the other way with
the
it.
The answer
I?
Was inspect it. What does this guy think? Everybody's a proctologist?
Bill, I don't know, but you just displayed your knowledge.
That's right. if I was
you just wanted to say proctology.
I did want to say proctology. Go ahead.
Smell it. Nothing, you know?
Yep.
What was the winning answer?
The winning answers were kiss it, pull out splinter, scratch it, lotion it up, grab it, squeeze it. This is supposed to be a family show.
Yeah. These aren't the days of Ray Combs.
No.
And those days are gone.
But even at a point, like, even Steve Harvey looks surprised, right? I think he tapes like 20 of these a day. Right?
He's doing everything. Sure. He's doing motocross in the evening.
Is he? Could be.
He's doing big jumps.
Can we do another one of these, please? No, we're not doing retakes. I got a motocross event to be at.
I got a dirt bike race to win.
Exactly. But I think he even... Steve Harvey is a motocross racer.
It's possible.
Moonlighting as a motocross champ.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. He even looks surprised at these questions that are posed, right?
He's not writing them. He doesn't care. They hand him a note card 5 minutes before he goes on.
Improv a few jokes.
Do you think they're rehearsing this?
I don't think
this?
I'm going to be allowing Family Feud in the household anymore. I'm saying.
Do you think that's the first time that Steve Harvey saw that question, or was there a rehearsal table?
I don't think they rehearse them.
A table read of some sort.
No, I think Steve comes out and he meets the family. He goes, okay, how you doing? I'm going to do a little improv, a little shtick with you. I'll interview you, and then we play.
And then the money hits my bank account.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he does like 20 episodes a day, and he really has no idea what the surveys are going to be or how they're going to be answered. And
isn't that a nice life, though?
Yeah, for him, you know.
Yeah. Talking about butts on TV.
Well, but he even looked kind of off by it. You know, like, I wonder if even, like, the producers of the show are like, let's see how far we can take it with Steve Harvey just to mess with him, right? And sneak it in, because I don't think it gets screened by Harvey, per se, before they go
out.
Are
you trying to tell me that someone's messing with Harvey behind the scenes?
I'm trying to say people are messing with the American moral curve.
The American dream.
And they're in it. And Family Feud is a big conspiracy whack to get everybody... to fall from grace.
You know what they should do?
What?
Forget the election.
Yeah.
Have Family Feud, the Trumps versus the Bidens.
Why not?
Yes.
And have filthy answers.
But we already had the...
right?
Just
the filthiest question.
Have questions like that.
Right. Eric Trump's like, smell it. You know?
Each question has to be about
Hunter Biden's like, smoke it. You know?
Oh, and man. It's catered by Mickey D's.
Inspect it. Ding, 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 ding.
Who would host
it,
though?
I knew it. Everybody in the South likes to have it inspected. They've told me this.
Who would host it?
What's wrong with getting it inspected? It's a normal thing. It's natural.
I said an attack once.
This
painful.
Guy wanted. This guy said smoke it. The other guy said, pet it or snip it or something.
The other guy's sleeping.
Completely unpractical, creepy, creepy, creepy answers.
Who would host
Very
that?
Very creepy answers.
Would
from
you
the
wear a mask? Would you wear a mask if you had it inspected?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I would totally
Everyone wears a mask, but there's a hole in it, so there's no beef.
Listeners, I hope you're following. I hope you're following, listeners. Yeah.
Who would host this dream episode of
But
Few?
We already talked about this earlier.
Andy Rooney. The late is a hologram of Andy Rooney. Because they don't want the guy to get, physical.
I'd say the hologram of Andy, the late Andy Rooney, moderates Family Feud, Biden's versus Trump's.
Yes.
Wow, that's great television.
Top 10 things your wife would ask you. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that would be a little annoying to watch. I'd say maybe like
name something a man might ask his wife to do to his bottom.
Who would have a soothing voice? Like Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton is the new host of Family
How about Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah, he's got a real soothing voice.
Lawrence Flint.
He's hard to understand.
Well, we're living in the wackiest world where all of these are legit candidates.
Do you know where we are living? In a world where there's piles of oatmeal.
I was going to say that, but there was another thing I wanted to say before we got to oatmeal.
Oh, yeah, go, Burly Bill.
We have, before...
Yes, he's burly tonight,
before
folks.
Family Feud, this idea, we have talked about the world's greatest... Remember we were going to have the greatest
show? The Great American Show?
The Great American Show.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's still happening.
So forget the feud. We got the Great American Show.
But that'll be part of it. The Great American Show is so big that these are all subsidiaries.
I know, that's true. Yeah.
There'll be a corner for the feud, a corner for Jeopardy.
If you want to know more about the Great American Show, you know, always check out our past podcasts.
Yes, and also eat oatmeal, McCann's. It's the greatest oatmeal in the world. The show is presented by More Hoolies Hoolie when we return.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Don't touch that dial. The Hoolies Hoolie returns in just a moment.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehy's pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Welcome back, folks. Second quarter.
It was the Gosselier family.
Right. Who else is on? The Trumps!
It's the Trumps versus the Bidens. Hosted by the Pope.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Thank you, everyone. Right. Hosted by Putin.
Putin.
Welcome, welcome. Please sit down. No, sit.
We just wrote next week's Saturday Night Live sketch. Can you imagine Putin as the host?
I think he'd be delightful, actually.
Top 10 things people do when they're at Walmart.
Survey says.
What if he was real animated?
Survey says.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cue the Russian propaganda techno music that I wrote for show, please.
He makes Melania give him a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
She's
out of there. Yeah.
Good to see you again.
How are you?
He touches her hand.
Good to see you, dear.
He wears a pinky ring.
Right. Does this guy treat you good? Does he treat you okay? Everything okay? Look at this guy. He's been wearing red tie for 15 years.
Who's burning
with
the lasagna?
Oversized Brioni suit.
Who burnt this guy's lasagna last night?
Right. Joe, tell me one thing now that we're on your side of the family. How much for the hair plugs? You could have gone to India for better ones. Those are ridiculously poor.
Did they put them in white or did you have to bleach them?
Yes.
Anyway, have fun tonight, guys.
Anyway, I wish you both luck. You're both going to be sent to Siberia when it's over.
Let's put 30 seconds on board. Category is death missiles.
Category is Kim Jong-un. Top 10 things you do with Kim Jong-un on vacation.
Kim Jong-un's bottom.
Right. Right. Top 10 things you do when you've witnessed Kim Jong-un's bottom. Number 9, we start with you, Melania.
Well, it is that time of year, boys.
We're getting there. 2 weeks away. We got the Spook Fest.
Just don't watch
the
Halloween, man. Oh, yeah. Well, I know that. I thought you were talking about an actual thing here.
That's the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
November 3rd is the real one. Yeah.
Just don't watch TV for 2 weeks.
I'm trying to get out. I think I'm going to early vote tomorrow because I think it's going to be insanity on that day, personally.
Oh, I would get in as quick as possible.
Because they're saying some of the waits have been, like, even for early voting, have been, like, over an hour and a half, which means on the 3rd, it's going to be probably like a 3 or 4 hour wait. And I was talking to Mary, and I was like, I can't take a day off of work. I got to do this now, I guess.
Just go early in the morning and deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm just going to go early in the morning and check it out. And I will wait in line if I have to. interesting how there's some paranoia going down there, right? When you wonder which side is, you know, that plays into. Does it play into the, is the left more interested in creating and having that narrative go on that, like, hey, there's going to be long lines, you need to vote ahead, right? I think they do, right? Because I think that, you know, they know that their base is a little bit less in love with Joe Biden than the right, right? Mm-hmm. The right is going to go, no, I'm standing in line and I'm making sure that I do this, you know? The other people might say, you know what? I'm out of here. You know, they're already disenchanted enough. Like,
I think it's ridiculous. I think that's part of it. I think it's also people want to make sure they're doing it during the COVID year, mm-hmm. the 1 year, hopefully, that we have COVID. Let's make it count, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. COVID wins regardless who wins.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Ooh, Jinx, you owe me
a
Coke. Hey,
Billy owes me a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
One thing I was shocked to see, interesting, right, before the election, my tax return showed up yesterday.
Oh.
I've been waiting about 9 months for it, right?
Isn't that nice?
I filed early. That shows you how the coronavirus pushed everything so far back with the government, right? I was like, wow. And I made countless calls, and I was like, hey, and God, you know, I couldn't believe that I got one to begin with.
Yeah.
I was happy about that.
What are you going to do with money?
I don't know yet, you know?
Buy a camera.
I'm going to, maybe a camera.
Mm.
What are you going to do with your money? Buy a camera?
buy a camera.
My daughter asked, it's interesting, my daughter asked me for a camera today. She's like, I want a camera for Christmas.
Ooh.
Like, I think she wants a video camera.
Get her like a big, you know, old Magnavox, like a big movie camera that holds VHS tapes.
Yeah, right. Here you go.
Here you go. Merry Christmas.
Tell you what, if you 10 years ago, I'm stuttering.
My throat.
I 10 years ago, I would have said, hey, that's kind of a cool idea. You should teach her how to actually put films together, and working on an old school platform like that will teach you the discipline to learn how to edit a proper narrative story much better than just going out and acquiring as much footage as you can and then swamping yourself in the editing room for 10 days, right?
Yes.
For 10 months. But I don't think anyone works that way anymore. I think, you know, it's all about as much content as possible. And that's what she wants it for. She's obviously gearing up to do some channel.
Can't you
some
do that kind on a phone? You don't need a camera.
You can. The new phones are amazing.
Yeah.
So well, maybe it's her ploy of saying, I want a new phone. She's not saying phone now. No, she's saying camera. Who knows? I do know this, is that Halloween's coming, and they did cancel the Halloween ceremonies at school. Some of the schools are, some of the kids that were in session are now back home again because of the spikes that are occurring here in the state of Illinois, which is a bummer, right? Yeah.
We're still going strong.
So the Catholic schools are still going strong.
We got
strong.
Jesus on our side.
Well, I'll tell you what, I went over to this Catholic school that my daughter attends today because she left her lunch at home, and I went in to go drop it off. And while I was there, the kids were on the playground.
Yeah.
And I saw her on the playground. I'm like, I'll just walk over to her, right? And her teacher, who I haven't met yet because of COVID, we have parent-teacher conferences, and those are all Zoom and Skype-based related.
Yep.
And it's kind of difficult now. Like, you can't, the whole parent-teacher conference thing is annoying because back in the day, you could just knock that out in like an hour, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we'll go to school late at night or after dinner. Someone will watch the kids for a second, and we'll go over and meet our teachers for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
No. Now I'm like, okay, so we're talking to each one of our teachers, right? My wife's like, yeah, but it's 10-minute increments throughout the day. Right, so it's like at 2:45 we're talking to this guy, and then at 3:15 we're talking to him, and then at 4:30 we're talking to him. I'm like, hey, wait, and that's the only way they can feasibly get it done.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So the new norm stinks in that capacity.
So you walked down to the property to talk to Charlotte, and you were confronted.
So I went over there, I was just gonna give her the lunch, and her teacher, who I haven't met yet, was like, hey, you know, back up, like, get off the. I had a mask on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you're just some dude.
But it was like I entered some force field, you know, where they would have electrocuted me.
But she didn't know that you were a father. You could have just been some guy.
No, she did. I identified myself as Charlotte's
father.
I'm
the father.
I said, hi, I'm Charlotte's dad. She forgot her lunch, and I just kind of kept walking, and she was like, whoa, where are you going?
You should have threw the lunch up in the air, and then when the teacher's about to catch it, you should have threw a snowball at her.
Oh, if there had been snow on the ground.
You should have just had one ready.
I thought you were going to say, then pulled out a gun and fired a 45 right into the lunchbox.
Blew the lunchbox to pieces?
Right.
No, I would never suggest such a thing. That's ridiculous. My idea is way more realistic.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Not in COVID the movie.
No, not in COVID the movie.
In COVID the movie, the guy does throw the lunchbox up in the air and pull out a gun. shoot at the blitherines.
Yeah, there's no
blitherines.
There's no logic in COVID the movie. Just the most insane things happen.
If we make COVID the movie, it's just anything goes, man.
Speaking of movie making, Patty, should we reveal our movie?
Yeah. Well, Bill, I think you've been on this thread.
You haven't responded yet.
I've just been quietly enjoying it.
All right, so let me tell the background of this story.
All right.
So it's the Halloween season. There's a lot of horror films on TV, and my kids are starting to get into them a little bit.
Sure.
But anyway, so I'm always looking for a good horror film idea, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm tickling my daughter the other day on the couch, just kind of playing around.
Yeah.
And she's laughing her head off, and, you know, I'm tickling her pretty good. And then I'm like, all right, I better stop. You know, it's to the point where, like, I know she can't deal with it anymore.
She'll pee her pants.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking to myself, I have, like, this kind of weird thought. I'm like, I wonder if anyone's ever been tickled to death.
Right.
So then I thought to myself, that would be a great movie if there was a guy called the Tickle Monster and he went around and he tickled people to death. And you could make it like a campy horror film type thing. And then I took it a bit further.
You guys took it to an nth degree.
And I said that he should have a Freddy-type glove, but instead of knives, there's feathers that he tickles people with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the guy laying on the beach is... Someone comes out of the water and starts tickling his toes. It's the tickle monster. That's who it is.
Right. But it quickly got into even a deep and darker film as your text thread progressed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Patty took it there.
I have the thread in front of me.
Okay.
Clay out of the blue texts me. What day was this? I don't know. It was like last Friday or Saturday. It was Saturday. It was last Friday.
Yes.
I have a great horror movie idea. It's called Tickle Monster, about a guy who tickles people to death. And then I don't respond. And I read it. I'm like, actually, it's not bad. You know, I'm intrigued. Then the following text is, played by Paul Rubens.
Who's Pee Wee Herman,
which
everyone.
It just makes it better.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the bat. Throw Rubens in. Now we're working with something.
Now the wheels in my head start turning. I write back, oh, you know, expletive, yeah, exclamation point.
Yes.
His first victim is a pervert played by Louis Anderson. The tickle monster only haunts and preys on sexual deviants.
Okay.
All right. Bill, his first time chiming into this conversation, doesn't respond or anything, just says Bill Land laughed at that. Clay writes back, this is such a... Yes, we can make it weird as balls. Like, real weird. I write back, super weird. Clay writes, he has Freddy gloves, but instead of knives, there's feathers.
Yes.
Love it, LOL. I said, his face is just Paul Rubens' face. No changes there.
No makeup at all.
No makeup needed.
Rubens shows up on set, and we put him on camera.
So you also added that Derek the composer must be doing the soundtrack.
Yes. He's our horror film composer. He'll rewrite the score. There's no negotiations there.
Anyway, I go and have friend. I had breakfast with our friend Dave Murhar, right?
Who's been on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a commercial director and comedy writer here in Chicago.
Yes.
And he's working on some projects. I just want to see what's going on, you know, in the production world with him lately and how COVID has affected things. And we met at the Onion Roll.
Very nice.
Oh, right? Very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. So I'm going over what I'm doing and I've got going on with this show and a couple other side projects. And we're having a good time. Kind of pitching ideas back and forth. What do you think about this? Was this a pretty good idea, right? Whatever. On the way home, he's like, hey, you need a ride? I only live like a couple blocks from there.
Sure.
Right? I was going to walk, but it started drizzling. I'm like, hey, let me get a ride. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in the car with him. And I have to, Clay, he knows Clay, but they don't know each other that well.
Right.
Right. But Clay, you said you saw him recently at like Puffs and you guys had.
I saw him buying a lighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I go, hey, do you remember Clay? You know, he goes, yeah, of course. You know, and I go, well, he has a pretty good idea. What do you think about this? And I tell him the idea. I go, it's called the Tickle Monster. Right. And his face just drops. And he's like, yeah. You know, like, you think sometimes when you go to a friend that you respect inside the industry that's worked in major motion pictures and stuff like that, that, you know, I was expecting him to just burst out laughing, which he did.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But I also respect his opinion immensely. And he's like, no, you're onto something there. He's like, I don't typically like all your ideas, but that one, that one's pretty good. You know? And I was like, So then I tell Clay this, and it gets even weirder. Okay. I write to Clay. I go, Clay, we got to do this. I go, shouldn't be too hard to come up with a formulaic horror script. We need to figure out the myth behind the killers. We need to figure out the myth behind the Tickle Monster.
Right.
Why does he haunt, you know, who does he haunt? The jokes will kind of follow from there.
Right.
But I, my theory is that a movie like this will only work if it takes itself extremely seriously.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it says, hey, this is a campy parody of a horror.
Well,
you know?
Come on. How do you think Candyman did so well? Because it took itself seriously.
Absolutely. I was like, the Freddy glove with the feathers is a must.
For sure.
Like, it's got to be, as stupid as it is, it's got to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Clay writes back. He goes, well, I've thought this out already. He's already got the myth. He goes, the myth behind the tickler.
is he called the tickler?
He is.
He's the tickle monster.
He's the tickler. Right?
Okay. No, he's a tickle monster.
The yeah, correct. Thank you, Clay.
Let's get it straight.
Does he have like a real name, like Joey Gorski or something like that?
We haven't gotten there yet. Okay.
No.
But yes.
Absolutely. Of course he has a real name.
Joey Gorski's pretty good, actually.
He's a Polish kid from the Northwest Side. The tickle
all
monster.
Right, keep going, keep going.
Joe Gorski. I'm sorry to all you Joe Gorskis out there. I don't think that you're tickle monster perverts at all. The myth behind the tickler,
yes,
is that he was relentlessly tickled by an evil older brother when he was a kid to the point that it drove him insane and he wanted revenge. His first victim was his older brother, whom he tickled to death in his sleep. And then it goes on from there. You know, this, and so Clay goes, oh, the evil older brother is played by your old friend Tim Burke. Shout out to you, Burke, if you're listening.
That's a casting move.
Absolutely. And then I love how where my head goes, it goes even darker, right?
Yeah.
I go, an evil older brother who molested him. He can't just be tickled. He had to do something horrible to him.
No, you know? We're keeping it simple.
And I said, and that is the reason why the tickle monster now haunts perverts and child molesters that have
He just goes after bad guys. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, we're turning him into Batman now.
No.
The tickle monster just goes after bad guys?
No, well, so go on about what I said about Batman.
Well, I got to. Here's the other part of the tickle monster. He always leaves a feather on his victims. But the medical examiners always say the victims died of natural causes.
Mm.
A sex crimes investigator in the FBI starts to put the pieces together as some of his targets start winding up dead. The FBI investigator is played by Andrew Dice Clay. You mean I'm looking for a tickler? Oh! You mean I'm looking for a supernatural tickler? Anyway.
You just wanted to do some dice.
Yeah.
I did. And then I added, I said, the FBI Sex Crimes Homicide Task Force has tons of funny parts and characters. I said, Dice's boss is played by a very serious Pauly Shore. Dice hates him.
We're going to get everybody out for this one.
Everybody's in this movie.
Clay, sex shop owner and feather and leather dealer played by Bob Odenkirk. That's nuts. Anyway. And then it started going down like, oh, well, maybe it takes place in like a Gotham type city,
right?
Where the tickle monster is now like a Riddler or Joker.
It's always raining.
Maybe Batman's looking for the tickle monster.
Yeah.
Well, it is that type of type. Well, it is that type and time of season.
Mm.
Go out and write your own horror movie this year.
Exactly.
Don't steal ours though.
Well, go ahead, steal ours. You know, you can make Tickle Monster 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
They're
going to
be
15
of them.
Yeah. I finally caved. I think I'm going to let my son. Oh, they're not doing Halloween at the schools this year.
That's what you said.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Well, you can't wear masks or anything like that. My son Mikey has had like 50. You guys know he's a Halloween nut. You know,
right.
He's got all the decorations and animatronic things that he wants to get for the lawn. Every day, still every day, all day long, it's all I hear about. You know?
Yeah.
You know, we got to get a cagey. He's talking about the names of these big clowns. We'll go through the neighborhood and look at other people's lawns.
Yeah.
Mikey knows the name of the product and what kind of clown it is.
That's $79.
Yeah. He's like, that was $140. You got the honeycomb lady or something like that, you know? And my wife has taken him over to a couple of the yards and the displays, and they've looked around. And typically there's like a little old lady who's really in, you know, it's her home and she's very invested in the whole setup. And
yeah,
they love talking to Mikey about this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is a thing. Like, people are in, like, this is a thing. Like, they're passionate about it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You know what you should do?
Like, this is like Christmas for my kid.
Take him to a real haunted house and scare Halloween right out of him.
You know what? It's not a bad idea. It's sick, you know? Maybe we'll tickle it out of him, you know? If you keep it up, I'm going to call the Tickle Master. He's going to tickle Halloween right out of your soul.
I'm requesting that you come over for a Tickle Master writing session next
Absolutely.
Week. Thank you very much.
We got
full costume.
We'll have to listen to scary music. What kind of scary music do we listen to on a session like that?
We'll find.
I don't even know what does the Tickle Master wear other than the glove.
Oh, it's
he wears a nude suit.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, is it like a nude suit?
No, he wears
he's like asexual. He looks naked, but he has no private parts except feather hand.
No, he's like American Psycho. He wears a suit.
Well,
he's like Jack the Ripper. He wears a top hat and an overcoat.
No, you know what?
Johnny Dorito. No, you're making like Jack the Ripper with a top card and an overcoat.
How about he wears a suit, but he wears like what you said, like he has a nude suit underneath a regular full piece suit, but he has to take off the suit, the actual full piece suit, every time he does a murder in the nude suit. It's like a thing for the
Tickle
Master.
Are you following people? Is everyone following this?
It's like a psychological thing for the Tickle Master.
Bill's running the costume department.
Well, maybe he has an overcoat over the nude suit, and then underneath the nude suit,
a green suit under a nude suit.
A green suit under a nude suit. Something good.
Did you guys watch the big fight?
No, but anyway, I took Mikey over there and I was like, hey, they're not going to do Halloween at the school.
Oh, it's canceled.
And so he's been begging me. He's like, I want to be Chucky.
Let him be Chucky.
I'm going to let him be Chucky. My wife's kind of like, all right, I'll let him do Chucky, but no Jason, no Freddy. And I was, how old was I?
What's the difference?
I was Jason 1 year. I think I was like 8 or 9 when I
was Jason 1 year.
I was Jason 1 year too. Everybody was Jason at one point. We've all been Jason.
I was Jason.
Jason.
It'd be awesome if Trump was Jason this year.
What if he came to his next rally with a Jason mask on? Happy Halloween. Camp Nowhere. I love you guys.
Crystal Lake.
So I'm going to let him do it. My wife was against letting him be one of those pop culture, you know, killer nut, you know.
You'll be seeing a lot of Freddies out there. Maybe not a lot of Freddies.
Well, I was Jason, and my wife's like, well, but you were 9. This kid's 6, you know? At this point, I'm like, what's the difference? You know,
it's outdated anyway.
But it is kind of disturbing to have your kid walking around with a plastic knife and blood on him like he just...
That's Halloween, man.
It is. It's Halloween, you know?
That's it. What do you want him to walk around with, an accordion?
Maybe.
Have him be John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I watched that last night. I was on TV.
God bless.
Del Griffith.
It's the season for that, too. And from last week's episode, Patty, Alan Stanwyck was the name you were looking for.
Thank you.
From
Alan
Fletch.
From Fletch. Yeah. Yes. And I believe, who played Alan Stanwyck?
That's a fine question.
Timothy Matheson.
That's true.
I believe.
Yes. He did. Mm.
Hey, there's your Fletch trivia of the week, folks. If you like Chevy Chase or Fletch movies, make sure you listen to this program.
I'm going into sports for a second.
Go ahead.
Did you watch the fight, Bill?
No.
Did you, Pat?
I didn't, and I'm not even sure what fight you're alluding to.
The Lomachenko.
Okay.
Versus this guy Lopez, and it was a big deal, and the guy who they thought was going to win did not win. Lomachenko. Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko got beat.
He got beat, but it went the distance and it was a good fight. But it was a
big
upset.
Was this UFC?
No, this is regular boxing. Yeah.
See, that's I got so lost on boxing, I
boxing's
think it's
making
because,
a big comeback.
I know it is. I got to get more into it.
This guy, Lomachenko, they say is one of the best fighters who ever lived. His amateur record's like 395-1. And then he wasn't supposed to lose, and he lost. It was very upsetting for the boxing community.
I want to know when Tyson Fury's going to fight again.
Soon.
Okay. And he's going to fight the guy from...
I think he's fighting Joshua.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't know if that's been canceled, though, because it was kind of sketchy.
Bill, what do you think about these Bears? Are they real?
No.
Three of those games were flukes.
I don't know. Look, you know, we'll find out. If they win on Monday night, then they are real. Because the Bears haven't everyone's like, they haven't played anybody. Well, we saw what Tampa Bay just did to Green Bay, and we beat Tampa Bay.
Right.
They're just kind of like, they're not a glitzy, glamour-type team to watch, I guess. It's just kind of like...
They're not sexy.
They're not sexy. There's nothing sexy about the Bears, but they're winning. So, I mean,
winning ugly.
I even thought that that game against they still had a chance to win that game against Indianapolis too. So I'm like, they could be technically be 6-0. So, you know, I still predicted 8-8. I know they're probably going to do better than that.
What did I think? I said 12-4. Something like that.
Look back.
Well,
on it
doesn't even matter. Next year will be the test.
For all
sports.
I did see an interview. Foles looks pumped up, you know, and excited. And I think, you know, it does take some time for a quarterback to sort of start to gel and figure out who his go-to guys are and get that mo. And I'm slowly starting to see him do that. He's getting a rapport with that team. The more they keep winning, I think the more dangerous they become. That defense is strong. Strong.
Yes, they are, if they can stay healthy. I still think, though, I mean, like, look, I think they're one or two injuries away on defense to totally imploding.
Okay.
That's my opinion. Like, if Akeem Hicks goes down, they're in trouble. Like,
right.
Robert Quinn's been good. Khalil Mack's been good. But Akeem Hicks is the guy. Like, they need – the loss of not having Eddie Goldman this year was huge. I mean, I know that they could go out and sign a couple guys. They still might make a move at the deadline and bring in maybe a defensive tackle. They need it. They signed Manti Te'o.
I saw that. Mr. Catfish.
Yeah, Mr. Catfish.
Oh,
himself.
Mr. Notre Dame Catfish?
Yeah. Still following him. What is poor that? Guy. You know?
He's on the practice squad, but he's just they need a little depth at linebacker as well. So we'll see. I think, you know, I actually like him to win. I like him to win on Monday night. Do I think that they're as good as anybody like Kansas City right now, or you know, I think the AFC is far superior to the NFC right now. Personally,
my opinion. Just like watching the Patriots lose.
Yeah.
And the
fun.
Sox
we haven't seen that in a long time.
And the Sox interviewed La Russa, so we're kind of like all, you know, like, I can't believe this might be going down.
Are they
going
to get La Russa?
People thought it was like, no, dead in the water, and it's like, no, he flew to Chicago for the interview.
I think it's Jerry. I think Jerry Reinsdorf is sitting down with La Russa and he's saying, we're both old. I have a team here. I want to sign a 1-year deal with me and win me the World Series. Let's go for it.
I don't know if La Russa's your
and
guy.
La Russa,
for that.
Even though La Russa's old, I think when you're in the twilight of your career and you have one chance to go bang it hard with an excellent crew behind you, I think you take that chance.
You should get Joe Torre.
I think Torre's even older than that.
I don't care.
Who knows? You know,
La Russa,
how old was Sparky Anderson when he was managing up until the 80s?
Yeah, that's true.
How old was Zimmer when he got thrown to the ground by Pedro?
Zimmer looked old. Zimmer looked like he was 80 when he was 40.
Yeah,
you know?
He did.
He's like John Astin, that actor John Astin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you see John Astin in the movie Midnight Run, which, by the way, is a classic, or in Beverly Hills Cop, you know, he plays Taggart, right?
Like Gene Hackman.
He's like, when he played Taggart, he looks like he's like 55 approaching 60 in Beverly Hills Cop. He was like 31.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's kind of how Don Zimmer was, you know?
You know what I think could happen potentially, looking at the White Sox situation? You've got what do you got? Joe McEwen as your bench coach right now.
Sure.
You have no pitching coach, no skipper, no manager.
Nope.
You could potentially bring in a guy like A.J. Hinch and La Russa together and be like, La Russa's going to do 1 year, and you can sit on the bench with him, and when he's done, you take over AJ. I could see that. The Sox do have that kind of money right now.
All right.
So I could see La Russa being like, I'm doing a 1-year deal, and then maybe Hinch this is fantasy.
Oh, absolutely.
This is fantasy. You know, you never know. You never know
Thank
what they
you, David Bowie's here.
You're having fantasies. Baseball fantasies.
Let's take a break. The Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Carry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on.
Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Hang in there! We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolies. Stay tuned.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts, with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Nice. Welcome back, folks. It's the fourth quarter of the program.
Yeah.
As if 2020 couldn't get more bizarre, this is a story I read. Do you know that Neil deGrasse Tyson is?
Yes.
No. He's warning Earth. Yes. He's a, what about him? Is that Putin? Yes, I know him.
Yes,
what
he
about
is crazy
him?
Scientist.
He has big left-wing PBS scientist show, yeah. Correct? Yes, is that him?
Spaceman.
Yes, he's a space nut of some kind. He's warning Earthlings and asteroid may be heading for our planet before Election Day, but it's probably not going to kill us.
Cool.
All right. The famed astrophysicist posted a photo of the giant rock hurling towards Earth with the caption, Asteroid 2018 VP1, a refrigerator-sized space rock. Okay.
Wow.
Is hurling towards us at more than 25,000 miles per hour.
That's fast.
That's real fast. That's fast. I don't even have a car that goes that fast. That's not fair.
My man goes that fast.
One time I pedaled so hard from Siberia to St. Petersburg, my mongoose tires had smoke coming off of them.
I had Russian NASA put a rocket on mongoose. It went 25,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
True story. I melted snow in my path.
Neil deGrasse Tyson goes on to say it could have been a brush with Earth at an ominous time. It may buzz cut Earth on November 2nd.
What does buzz cut mean?
Right? Exactly. Maybe it just like touches the atmosphere but doesn't impact anything.
I don't even think that's even too close.
Anyway, so if the world ends in 2020, it won't be the fault of the universe.
Okay, fine.
So it's a good sign. Neil, who hosts the new Fox show Cosmos, Possible Worlds, didn't say what else could end the world as we know it, but I'm sure he has ideas. So,
ain't they got a big laser to zap that thing out of the sky?
What is? Well, that's only in the movies, and
no, that's real life.
We got to get Bruce Willis on the phone.
Doesn't a mountain open up and a big laser comes out?
Is there such a thing? See, now you're just saying hypothetical stuff that I'm dumb enough to believe.
No, that's true.
I can't imagine Trump saying that when he first talked to the military guy.
Open the mountain. Isn't there a mountain in the range in California somewhere that opens and has a big laser in the middle of it that can just end it all? Show me the mountain with the laser. I'm curious. I want to see it.
Where's the remote for the mountain?
I want to see that, and then I have a 2 p.m. meeting with Doug, the White House alien, in the basement.
The remote for the mountain is just a single box with a red button. There's no words on it.
Yeah, what do you guys think Doug, the White House alien, is doing on election
night? Sweating bullets.
He's freaking out right now.
He might get evicted.
He's never been evicted. He's been there for the last... I know. Since Eisenhower.
He has to deal with, you know...
You gotta deal with all the moving.
Well, I'm sure he probably knows.
Yeah, he's upset about that.
More moving.
He is excited about hanging out with Biden, though.
Now it's time to write that script as well. We got work to do.
Did you guys see the video? There was one thing I saw a video of Trump doing. We were meeting with a bunch of first responders. And it is, I like watching him cut it up with those guys. And he does seem genuine, right?
Sure.
But one of the things he did, kind of, I was like, is he that really like him? Or is he making a joke of the fact? Or is he serious? I wasn't sure. But
did he lay on a stretcher?
No, he's sitting there and he's signing autographs, right?
Yeah.
He's like, yo, get up, get him over here. He looks like a strong guy. I like him, doing good things. We're going to help you out, give you everything you need and fast, you know, with speed.
And he's signing his name and he gives the autograph and he goes, take that, put it on eBay, $10,000. You get $10,000 for it tonight, $10,000. Right?
Yeah.
And every time he signs a signature, he gives it to a different first responder. He goes, put it on eBay for $10,000 tonight, $10,000.
That was his joke of the day.
Part of me goes, I wonder if Trump's signature is worth $10,000.
No, because as soon as you try and sell it on eBay, he'll sue you for $100,000.
Copyright infringements.
Yeah, that's why he wants you to
put
do
it on
it.
eBay, sell it for $10,000. We'll like, get you all the help you can.
In his head, he's going, lawsuit.
Yeah. But that killed me. But I just couldn't tell if he was like if that was his inside joke with those guys or if some part of him was serious about
it. That's funny. I think there's actually a clip in that Last Dance documentary where Jordan's giving an autograph to someone. He's like, you get $5,000 for this. I know how that works.
Oh, he's signing somebody's shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, autographs are big business.
Yeah, they are.
I actually collect autographs.
Do you?
Yeah, I got some good ones.
Who do you have? What do you like?
My dad used to take me to a baseball card convention, so I got got Stan Musial. I got Sandy Koufax.
Okay.
Ernie Banks, Ron Kittle. I got Hank Aaron. I got Dale Earnhardt. I got
Earnhardt's a good one.
Conor McGregor, a glove. I got Mickey Ward. I got Sugar Ray Leonard.
Okay.
I got Peyton. I got Muhammad Ali.
Oh, you got a lot.
You got good ones.
What else? I got Slash and Axl Rose.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You actually bought, but you didn't.
Michael Jordan.
These weren't autographs that you actually like were in person.
I bought a lot of them. Okay, no, the ones in person were all baseball players.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been collecting them for 30 years.
I can't remember. I don't think I've ever asked a celebrity for their autograph as an adult.
I don't think I
at
have
a
either.
Certain point, only because I would work on movie sets and you'd be around them. It was like that was just kind of a no-no. You know, you don't start talking to the guy and go, "Hey, you know, listen, I'm a big fan. Sign this for me."
Sign my face.
You know? I used to be like that, but now that, like, you know, if I go to an event for like and I see something where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna get that signed for Maddox.
Well, it's usually
well, that's what I'm getting. Like, so growing up, our dad was an actor, listeners, and appeared in some films and. He met like Paul Newman. He met, you know, he was on movie sets and was in scenes with a lot of famous actors. He got us a couple autographs, sure. Right? Yeah. Not all the time, but he did do it. And I think that's probably the only way that I would feel comfortable obtaining an autograph now as an adult. If I was like, I might meet somebody and go, "Hey, you know, it's not for me. I'm not a sick weirdo. It's for my kid."
No, well, now it's you ask for a picture. If you meet a celebrity.
Right. That's the new selfie, right?
Yeah. Hence, that's a new autograph.
Right. Hence that startup here in Chicago called Cameo that has gone wildly bonkers.
Right.
I've always been. And now they're, you know, that's it. A lot of companies are welcoming their new employees with cameos now. Like, you know how you get a welcome package when you're a new employee? Mm-hmm. Like, "Hey, welcome to corporate, you know, USA. Mind suck hell for the next 10 years. We got you an iPad, a pencil, and, you know, immediately," and you get a nice long greeting, right, from the company. Now they're hiring celebrities to greet you to the new company.
Oh, wow.
You know, like
Tim Matheson?
Well, it's like, "Hey, it's ST. I want to welcome you to, you know, your new gig at United Airlines. It's awesome."
Who's ST?
Ice-T.
Oh, Ice-T.
Did I say ST?
It sounded like ST.
I love ST. I love ST.
Jennifer Roberts and ST.
Jennifer Roberts and ST.
My two favorite actors.
Right. Kevin Sheen. Love all of them.
Kevin
Michelle
Sheen.
Jordan.
Peter South.
Yes. My favorite.
Yeah, what a world.
It is a world, isn't it?
It sure is.
What a world.
That's my phrase.
That was a Conan bit years ago. What a world.
I say that around my house all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, what a world.
You have to.
You really, especially if you watch the news for 5 minutes.
Especially if you watch the YouTube stuff that your kids are into.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on? Yeah.
My new thing is watching people go down hills on longboards on YouTube. They go like 70 miles an hour. It's nuts.
And that was also because of Nathan Alapaca.
Dog face. Now, this is beyond dog face.
My video obsession with longboardings is beyond dog face at this point, honey. I'm sorry. I'm going to be locked in the basement for a couple days watching longboard
Did
videos.
You guys vote yet?
No.
No, Billy's doing it tomorrow, which is a lie. What about you?
No, I'm going to do it the day of, I think. I'm just going to
dress like RoboCop.
Absolutely. Murphy!
Come with me.
If you want to vote.
No. Then they hand you the ballot, look at it, and go, "Come with me."
That actually would be awesome if you dressed up as RoboCop to go vote.
I don't know if they'd let you in.
Probably not.
Because I think you got to show your ID and it's got to match up. Unless your ID picture is RoboCop.
Yeah. Well, that's a great Halloween movie for anybody.
That's an expensive Halloween costume.
Yes, it is. It's made of pure steel and titanium. Thin
steel and lasers.
I think our president was dressing as RoboCop on Halloween.
It'd be great if he gave a speech as RoboCop.
The presidential had a Halloween party at the White House. He's walking around in a tin RoboCop suit. I mean, he's very mad because everyone thinks he's the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
He's like, "No, this is RoboCop. I'm not the Tin Man. The Tin Man was
He's
very
got the
fair.
Mask off, though, and that, like, bald head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Murphy.
Right.
Trump as Murphy for RoboCop.
As exposed Murphy. No Mask Murphy.
Melania, I've come up with my costume. I'm exposed Murphy from RoboCop. I have the all steel, but I'm just going to be bald.
You know, from like the later on in the film.
And I get to finally play with my guns.
If you haven't seen RoboCop, it's a good Halloween flick.
It is. Folks, if you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, and I hope you have, you can find us if you go to archives, you go to hibernianradio.org. Mm. Or you can go to iTunes and search for us there. I want to thank our sponsors again, McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Fox's Beverly Pizza, okay, the Cork and Carry Irish Pub, personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago, Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home.
Correct. Tullamore Dew Irish
Whiskey. And Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a Turn world, serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up and knock, speak, grunt, no strength. The ladder starts.
slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn.